You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. I feel it's very important when talking about issues of gender equality that we all, you know, admit our failings. And I think that this is the right opportunity in talking about this movie that I admit I have had to make peace with the fact that I am an unrepentant sexist. I think women really are better at men than everything, pretty much. I mean, in my experience, I always am not as good as the women in my life at doing things I'm trying to do. So I'm just going to call it there and say, sorry, we lose. End of story.
Accepted.
Well, kidding. You know, with
totally
you,
kidding.
I know on a personal level, I can't even come close to matching up with Laura here. It's like, oh yeah, I'm an opera singer and I'm a martial artist and a writer. I'm like, I'm good at this video game.
I'm just disappointed we didn't start this review off with a joke about the job ball shagger, which is the dirtiest term in American sports.
Wait, what is a ball shagger?
The women and men that like when the tennis ball hits the net and falls and you see some guy runs out and grabs up, that's called shagging the ball. Those are ball shaggers.
So it's not a fluffer.
They shag
not a fluffer.
The balls. No. Ball flubber, completely different neck of the woods as far as employment goes.
That was in the days before they had machines to shag the balls as well. And so they'd have to put them in their mouth to clean them.
Right in the gutter. We are right in the gutter.
No, that's
Boom.
A ball cleaner.
Right
that's
off.
Golf. And it is still filthy.
We're talking about the movie Battle of the Sexes. I, Chris, am accompanied here by Laura and Bo and Zach.
Yes.
And this is a biographical comedy drama version of the, you know, like Laura and I, and you may be old enough to remember it too, Bo, the famous match between Billie Jean King and Bobby
Briggs.
I don't
think
Briggs.
I had any inkling of it. I certainly didn't
I knew
know
it was
that
happening.
Boys and girls were different.
Yeah.
But I do remember, like, you know, that they're hitting balls, and that's interesting. And, you know, it was a little bit of a big deal. I grew up in Austin, so the famous match happened at the Astrodome, so there was a little bit of spillover there. But it wasn't until, like, I think the first time I became aware of this very famous tennis match was Archie Comics did a parody of it. I think I read that.
Did they really?
They really did.
Well, but that's just
Yeah, this was a big thing that kind of, you know, penetrated
giant
the social net.
Media
yeah.
circus. Howard Cosell moderating, like, being a commentator on tennis. That was not normal.
No.
No, you know? Not at all.
I mean, it was...
Yes, normally they would let Howard's ass
Howard
around.
I'm free.
Shut up.
I had no spoilers for this.
Imagine Harry Carey, but you couldn't tell he was as drunk.
Yeah.
All the time.
And with the worst toupee on the face of the planet.
Oh, my goodness.
He was kind of you couldn't separate him from sports.
Yeah.
You thought of sports, you thought of
Howard
Cosell. He was
it was literally picture, like... You know, there was no ESPN. ABC had this show called The Wide World of Sports
yep.
that came on every weekend. And there was one, you know, one main dude. It was
Howard.
And you know, like, everybody can do an impression of Robert De Niro. You're like, oh, that's the impression yeah. they do. Well, back then, everybody did
Howard.
An impression
this
of Howard Cosell.
Howard Cosell.
Anyway, he has a very minor role. Well, to say they just...
They CGI what was it, Rosario Dawson?
Natalie something?
That's terrible. Natalie Morales.
Yes.
Anyway, the
okay.
story here, yes, between Billie Jean King, played here by Bobby Riggs, who in the movie, I'm sorry, played here by Bobby Riggs?
Bobby Riggs playing Bobby Riggs.
Emma Stone playing Billie Jean King. Steve Carell's Bobby Riggs. At the time, Billie Jean King had just become, like, the world champion of
She was arguably the
tennis.
First, like, you know... major media female tennis
sports.
Star. I
yeah.
mean, up until there'd certainly been, you know, celebrated female athletes before that and celebrated female tennis players, but
she was the biggest.
It was getting a little bit, they were starting to actually do coverage of
yeah.
this, and the, you know, tennis got, you know, most people don't realize this, but tennis in the 70s got it blew up. Like,
yeah.
It was the first time it kind of went from being this something that, like golf is today, that is really only played in a country club or,
yeah.
you know, some setting like that, golf. And came out and they were like teaching inner city kids how to play.
No,
like,
and when I was growing up, it was like one of the biggest things at my high school to learn. Everybody wanted to learn to play tennis because it was gigantic.
And it's still to this day, if you go to like any public park, you know, they generally have, might be dilapidated at this point, but they have a tennis court.
But this was kind of the plateau of going to absurdity for the sport, where it had already gotten to the point where it was so incredibly popular. And now this whole thing, which, as you know, like I said, started with her becoming champion, and then Steve Carell's Bobby Riggs, who is an ex-champion, who's now 55, and his life is kind of not great. He's married to a very rich.
I do think we should mention that one of the major things that happens to this, even before the Bobby Riggs stuff comes up, is she and her manager confront the heads of the tennis organization that she's in. Yeah, and they're like, You're literally paying the male players 8 times more than we're making, and yet people are buying just as many tickets for the female events as they are the male events.
So they decide, well, screw you, we're going to go form our own women's association for tennis. And he's like, never do that. And then they do, and it actually is doing pretty good.
That's where the real conflict of the movie is. It's not really in this match. It's with her and the guy, Bill the Pullman. Yeah,
who is sort of the symbol for expectations across the board. Because ultimately, Steve Carell, who, like I said, he's a huckster.
He's a troll.
He's a troll. Yeah, he's like, even Billie Jean King can't take his misogyny seriously.
Right.
Because
he's kind of lovable
like
in a way.
Just, he's doing it because he's a gambler. And he's like, he kind of lost his gamble. He lost his gamble with continuing to gamble secretly on the side with his very rich sugar mama, Elizabeth Shue, because that was the deal. You're not going to gamble anymore. And he gets caught. And so then he's like,
because he wins a Rolls Royce, which is delivered to his doorstep.
Yeah, lining there to being kicked out of the house.
Silver ghost lining.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. But he comes up with this idea. That's the thing. That's whatever, you know, we should do. I will challenge Billie Jean King to a match and play the part of the misogynist. I mean, he literally says, I'm playing the part of the misogynist, like pig.
And he's putting forth the idea that, hey, I'm a 55-year-old, you know, aging tennis star, but I'm better than any woman player out there at the best of the pro levels.
A lesser movie would have had him as, like, the bad guy, twisting his mustache, but this movie, that's not where the conflict is.
No,
there's a ton of little conflicts.
Yeah.
He's almost a MacGuffin.
Yeah, he is. They use him like that, too. I mean, he's in the movie much less. It's much more about Billy.
I mean, they give him enough time where I feel like they actually, where he's not just a cartoon character.
Well, because they make him a real person. Both of them are real. They have a very personal take on it.
Very fleshed out.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, there's this one scene where they make her husband, Billie Jean King's husband, the best detective since Batman.
Oh, yeah.
He sees one thing in a hotel room and he realizes, holy shit, my wife's a lesbian.
Yeah. They kind of, and they don't even go into it.
Yeah.
And that's where maybe this movie falters a little bit, in that it has all these conflicts and never really concentrates on any one of them. And this was one where, I mean, he literally we'll talk about this later.
And that's always a problem with biopics, especially if it's because you can't. Yeah. And then everything ended happily ever after. It's like, no, real life doesn't fucking work like that. It was years before Billie Jean King was able to come out of the closet.
Well, that's the deal. The subplot here, essentially, is that, she meets this lady played by Andrea Riseborough, who played Marilyn Barnett, who really was this, you know,
she's a pastiche character.
Do you think? Yeah. Okay. But she was, you know, in this movie anyway, the person who kind of, discovers that she's got another side to her sexuality. And
she's all in this movie, too. Yeah. I mean, she just embraced it.
Yeah. And that's, like, the thing is, you can't tell this story without addressing what was going on there, too. So they're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place of going, like, well, like, doesn't it feel like this should be the major thrust of the
And in this day and age, even with this movie coming out and going, like, we're going to portray this major triumph of women in sports, if they had glossed over the fact that, and by the way, they would have got nailed to the wall, and rightly so.
Yeah, but they do, there's a really nice towards the end bit with Alan Cumming, who's very funny in here as the fashion designer for the yeah, tennis players, so and her, a good friend of hers.
And World War II spy.
And World War II spy. Not mentioned in the movie, yeah, but damn, I want to see that
We're
movie.
We're going to watch that.
Who is like gloriously gay in this movie.
It's lovely.
Just like you love him. You're like, I want that guy to be my best friend.
I know. He has a lovely moment with her.
He has a lovely moment that really kind of felt like a nice sort of like, well, this is how we make that all that stuff feel like it fits into the rest of the movie. Because it's like, here's another big fight that's coming, but you just want a big fight with this other one. So let's just celebrate this moment for now.
Today, like, we needed that scene.
Yeah.
You know, in our modern climate. I feel like maybe 10 years ago, that wouldn't even been in it. But
it was, like, literally, I remember even when the, like, you know, things like Wikipedia and you know, first started to come out on, online, and you could look up people's biographies, and like there was still like stuff that would not say, yeah, Billie Jean King, and she was married to her husband and blah blah blah, and just like didn't even fucking mention that she she's gay and she's been living out life for years and fighting for lesbian and gay rights.
Yeah,
I never thought that she was, you know, I never thought of her as being married because I just never
I did
that
know
she was.
I did not know that.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
But, you know, lest you think that this is like a really serious drama, it really is a funny movie.
It's good.
And I think that
nice
like
blend.
Steve Carell was really the right choice to play Bobby Riggs here, who really was just a big clown.
Yeah.
You know, he's in there just chewing up the scenery. He's gotten every single sponsor imaginable, no matter how absurd it is to be there. He's showing up at the court dressed like Little Bo Peep with a bunch of sheep with him.
So
I mean, it's just absurd.
I mean, he very much like reminds me of like, you know, 80s wrestling, you know.
Yes.
He's pulling the same kind of moves.
And this is, I mean, like, for him, he just wants the money. He's like,
I think he wants the fame.
Show.
He wants the
attention.
He's craving that from back when
and he wants the he wants the rush.
And I guarantee he still feels like, yes, I will be able to beat these players, but you never feel like, unlike Bill Pullman's character and a lot of the other people we see, it's not so much that he has the biggest dog in the fight. He's just realized, I just assumed I would.
He's a flawed character, and he's not malicious. Like, Bill Pullman...
No, and he doesn't
like
hate women.
No. Yeah. No, in fact, if anything, he's terribly submissive to most of women in his life.
So
you know?
Funny.
Well, he'll say that he hates women if it... flare temper.
Well, that's the character.
But that's the character.
Not the character Steve Carell's playing, but that Bobby Riggs was playing.
Exactly.
And interestingly, in real life, the two of them actually became very close friends after all of this and stayed friends.
Yeah.
You know, like very close friends, apparently, which is like, what? Really?
Interesting.
You would never imagine that in a million years.
She had his number.
Yeah.
You know, he could probably be honest with her, like,
And, you know, they kind of, and you can actually look up footage of the actual people, like, talking when they were at press conferences. They would quibble with each other, like, you know, kind of a sophisticated married couple.
Well, they're, like, laughing
the
whole time.
Yeah, and he would say all this bullshit, and then she'd, like, say two or three things that just completely
initially, like, he challenges her, and she's like, fuck off, this is, like, just a joke. And he goes and challenges another player and realizes when he's able to beat her, okay, now he's put me in a position where I have no choice for the sake of other female tennis players. I have to take his challenge.
This is why...
But she realizes that this guy, that's not why he's in it. She's like, she even says it. This guy, he's just throwing a circus.
He's a troll.
Yeah.
And like, at what point, like, it's complicated because that troll kind of becomes the face of like this chauvinistic movement.
Yeah.
And so in a way, I mean, that's he's being a shitty person.
Yeah.
But he's still a complicated character, and they portray him as a complicated character. And I really like that.
That's what I expect from these directors. You know, they brought us Little Miss Sunshine. So great character development.
Mm-hmm.
They find the human part of each one of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think if anything in this movie is truly a standout, it's Stone and Carell, because they
so
just really fully inhabit their characters. And I mean, You forget it's Emma Stone up there. She's just like just so channels Billie Jean King.
There are times I just wanted to clap. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. You know,
the
not even during the
afterwards.
Myth.
It was crazy looking at how similar, like how they resembled the actual.
I was shocked at Bobby Riggs. I
looked just like Steve.
No, Carell nailed it.
Oh my god!
And you know, once again to point out what a great supporting cast there is all the way through this. Sarah Silverman.
It's almost a mystery how many like. You know, well-known people there are
they're
in this
everywhere
movie.
Everywhere in here. You look around. Oh, my God.
Yeah, like, little tiny role. Like, I was making a joke, like, that John C. McGinley, this is, like, the most money he's ever made for doing the less work. Because he's literally, I think, in two scenes.
He's
and,
not
like,
even mentioned on the Wikipedia cast list.
Exactly.
This thing. That's how, like, but you're like, that's John C. McGinley. He's a pretty big name actor.
He's an incredible actor.
Yeah, there's a lot of people like that throughout this. You're like, oh, there's a famous comedian, and there's a famous comedian, Fred Armisen. Has a small role. Chris Parnell has
a
small role.
And they got
role.
Wes Anderson to play that guy with the droopy mustache.
But I was going to say, Sarah Silverman plays basically the lady's agent who's helping them develop this new tennis thing. And she's a riot. She's playing a very Sarah Silverman
she's
character.
Very
like,
fun.
There's a scene where they storm into the men's club that Bill Pullman is at with his cronies. And the guy's like, you can't be in there. And the most Sarah Silverman line ever.
Yeah,
she's like, is that because I'm a woman or because I'm a Jew? Which is probably accurate on both counts.
Yeah, exactly. I was waiting for one of them to go like, well, both, actually.
Yeah, I know, right?
I love how she gets a sponsor that's like a cigarettes.
Yeah.
That's just, that cracked
well,
me up.
Well, it's
she's
funny
because like,
Virginia Slims, when Virginia Slims came out, when they first came out, they marketed themselves specifically
for
to women, and their motto was, and I think fucking still is, because I think Virginia Slims are still actually around, it's, you've come a long way, baby.
Oh, yeah.
They were in every magazine for women. Mm-hmm. Every magazine.
They tried to attach themselves to the lib movement. They tried to, like, I remember seeing whole
ads. Ladies can get cancer, too.
All the time, where it was tennis players and athletes on the ads. And you're like,
cracks
really?
Me up. Like, an athlete smoking a cigarette. Like, that just
cracks
me up.
That used to be incredibly common. And in fact, that was kind of some of the fun for me for watching this was stuff that I, like, kind of vaguely remembered from my high school. Like, those chairs in airports where you could put quarters into them and would play TV.
Yeah.
And
I remember when what magic is
what is happening? When I was a little kid, that was, like, the height of the fucking
so
space
true.
Age.
Yeah. You've never seen one of those?
Never seen one of those.
Oh, my God.
Was that, like $10 like every 15 minutes, though?
He literally,
was like, all your pay?
He literally has a movie studio in his pocket. Of course he's never seen one.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
I mean, back then, of course, the planes were all made of stone. And the cars had holes in so we could use our
people.
It was
all paper and fur.
I saw this gif of this little girl touching a Game Boy screen and not understanding why the Game Boy screen wasn't a touch screen. That made me feel old. I'm only 7,
good,
so.
Good.
Yeah, I saw a thing. It's so funny. Similar gif of the little kid who was trying to move the images on a magazine.
It's not gonna
work. It's not working, Mom. All right, well, let's go to final thoughts. Zach, why don't you start us off?
I really had a lot of fun. Feel good movie. A couple chuckles. Well written. The amazing cast. And amazing acting. So I'll give it 7 balls out of 10.
Fair enough, Lyra.
I really enjoy this movie. I was not sure that I would enjoy this movie because I usually like a lot of guns and death, but I really did. And I, you know, because of the directors, I'm actually not surprised because I love what they do with characters and the character development was great. Made me want to clap multiple times, not even just during the tennis match portion, which they actually made interesting, of course, you know, like we discussed earlier.
Yeah. The best way to watch a sporting event is wait 20 years until they make a movie
that's
out of
right.
it, and then you don't have to wait through any of the boring shit.
Totally. So, but one thing that it's so easy to forget is how much feminism has come, even in the past like 20 years or 30 years, because holy shit, I had forgotten how bad used to be. I mean, it is still bad. I mean, look who we've got in the White House. He's, like, horrible. But, you know, at the same time, a lot of the stuff that you see on the
you,
screen.
You don't have as many people calling you little lady.
I know. That's one thing that I heard. You know, little lady.
Or
I've
honey,
been called little lady
darling.
How many times?
Yeah.
And it pisses me off every time. What?
Yes, I'm not little,
no.
And B, I'm not a lady.
So, I mean, and it's pretty appalling, but I think that young people may not, or young women, don't understand that this is how it used to be. And this is back in the 70s. It's not that far, you know, it's not that long ago. So, I don't know. Take notes, ladies. It's gone a long way. We've done some hard work. So, anyhow.
Do you realize, to Zach, like, thinking about the 70s, like, we thought about the Korean War.
Oh, my God.
You know?
The stuff that he was doing, like, on the court was just like, I was like, ooh. It was just,
it
would
painful,
make me cringe.
Right?
Yeah,
it's very
like,
painful.
Ooh, man.
Yeah.
You would just be destroyed for doing anything, like, saying anything
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. I think the only issues I had every once in a while, I don't know, the sex scenes, they bothered me. And because I thought they just went on too long, so I'm like, oh, wait, you're going back to it? Jesus. You know, I get it. We get it. She's a lesbian. I know. So, but it's not that they were poorly done or anything. I could just kept
They
thinking.
Weren't even graphic. I
they
mean,
were not
yeah,
graphic.
I could say
it was
that,
just
that
too long.
That first one, it's
it was just
like,
long.
Okay, we got it.
It felt gratuitous,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And I find myself questioning
Of course,
why.
The older I get, the more I'm more like, oh, we should just do it like they did in the 30s, where they should just, you know,
right.
a glass falls down, and then, you know, the window blows open, and a drape ruffles, and that means somebody's getting fucked.
You know what? And I wonder if maybe that's part of it, because I find myself doing the same thing. I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ,
let's go back to
whatever,
the,
fucking
let's
go back to
the, if I wanted to watch people fucking, I'd watch porn.
Let's go back to the shot of the train entering the tunnel.
Exactly.
Or in this case, I don't know, two caves against each other.
Someone spelunking.
Spelunking, oh my God. So anyhow, we digress back into the gutter. So anyhow, I'm going to give it a... this is like a feel good, and yay, everything's so positive, and I wanted to clap. So I'm going to give it 9 knees wrapped in ice by a jilted husband.
Yeah, no, I really think this is a great movie from a performer's standpoint. I was very impressed with Stone and Carell. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Biopics often have a hard time drawing me in. Because you do, you know, have to sacrifice some of the dramatic story narrative to actually be truthful to what actually fucking happened.
Very true.
Yeah.
And, you know, that being said, I thought the ultimate, the match was very satisfying. You know, I loved watching all the people up on the screen. It didn't draw me in as much as it could. I felt, I kind of wish they'd done a little bit work on the narrative side of that thing. I felt like they placed a lot of burden on the actors, who picked it up admirably.
Yeah,
and
they
that's
held it.
Why I got the enjoyment that I did out of this movie. You know, and I did feel like, because they were having to kind of juggle a lot of balls here, especially in terms of the LGBTQ issues. There's one particular scene where I was talking to you guys earlier, and I said that Alan Cumming's character comes off as gay Jiminy Cricket and saying, it's all right, everything's going to be okay in the future.
So
side note, it's not okay yet.
Yeah.
Right.
It is better than it was.
It's better, but it's not okay.
Yeah, it's like a little...
But that being said, you know, I definitely think for the time of the year right now, this is a pretty good a little weekend movie. I'm gonna give it 8.5 shagged balls.
Oh, nice.
I really enjoyed this. I think it's just fun. It's a fun movie to watch. I agree with Laura
that
the scenes of the romance took up too much of the film.
Yeah.
Where it's like it didn't really like require as much screen time as they
did. And
gave
it didn't propel the story so much because it wasn't about that.
Yeah, agreed. And you know, I get that that's an important part of her life.
Yeah.
But it wasn't wildly pertinent to this particular scenario that was going on. Yes, it needed to be addressed and have that character in there, but it really is like 30 minutes of the screen time.
And Bill Pullman could have been in it as a bad guy more.
Would have been interested to see more.
Yeah, that would have been an interesting contrast.
But it is a really genuinely fun movie to watch, and I highly recommend it, and I give it 8 out of 10 racket rackets. Right. Which is what Steve Carell was doing. He was he was pulling a racket.
Very nicely done.
I had to do it.
It'll
apologize.
Be interesting to see how this plays out and see what people think about it.
Yeah,
and seeing if it, you know, if the viewers are Battle of the Sexing it, you know.
Yeah, if that's gonna right? like explode into
no,
social
we don't
media.
Like it, women. Oh, we think it's great.
Oh,
know?
Great! Another movie about having men.
I don't know. It'll be interesting.
I'm offended by these offended people. Ladies and gentlemen, listeners to oneofus.net, be a subscriber. If I could offer you only one tip for the future, being a subscriber is it. The long-term benefits of being a subscriber at oneofus.net have been proven by scientists, whereas the rest of my advice has no basis more reliable than my own meandering experience. I will dispense this advice now. Watch TV, but not too much. Remember to cast a wide net of types of shows you watch. Even reality TV may have the occasional gem to offer. Don't feel too bad that you have trouble finding friends that share your interests. You are amazing, and you should love what you love. Sure, in 20 years you'll look back at your favorite stuff and cringe at some of it, but it will be with an affectionate smile. By the way, I have no doubt that you probably look amazing. Even if you haven't found that person yet, if you believe in yourself, somebody is going to love you. I'm sure anime is great. I don't personally watch a lot of it, although some of our staff certainly does. You'll feel better in realizing that my lack of interest in it isn't me critiquing the quality of anime and affects your love of it in no way. Tony is probably not gonna show up. Yeah, we wish he would too. Love that guy. Taking it personal when someone likes something you hate or hates something you love in entertainment is understandable when young. But as you get older, trust me, there will be little that will make you feel more embarrassed about yourself than cruel things you said on someone's Facebook page about DC versus Marvel or whatever at 3 a.m. At least hopefully. Write, create, do your own thing, and if you don't have the time, find the time. Try out the shows you haven't given a shot to yet on our network, like Thumbtacks and Screwjobs, Somebody Likes It, or Deliberations of Doom. We think you'll be pleasantly surprised. But seriously, trust me on the subscription.